Now, hear this. All hands prepare to land on shore.
Steady as she goes.
Steady as she goes.
Left rudder 15 degrees.
Left rudder 15 degrees.
Right rudder 14 degrees.
Right rudder 14 degrees.
Easy now. Steady as she goes.
Got it.
15 to the north.
15 north.
That does it, men. All right.
Fine.
Hey. Good morning, men. Good morning. Very nice job of landing.
Good morning, Captain. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, sir.
Yeah, very nice. Nice day to go ashore. Well, I'll just gangway, men.
Beg pardon, Captain.
Certainly, Lieutenant. What's that?
It's none of my affair, really, sir, but we were halfway over to England. Why did you suddenly turn the boat around and come back stateside?
Gadzooks, man. Don't you know?
No, sir. That's why I'm asking, sir.
Well, it's 7:05 and time for the Joy Boys radio show.
Right, sir.
I wouldn't miss that for all the tea in China.
The Joy Boys of radio. We chase electrons to and fro. We are the Joy Boys of radio. We chase electrons to and fro.
Time for the Joy Boys show for Tuesday evening. This is Ed Walker here.
That's Willard Scott over here, and our engineers are gathered around their microphones again this evening to stand by. That's Bobby Birdie Shatton. Hello, Georgie Brogan's on the console. And Leslie Purzel, Arthur Page over there on the console. Wonderful, Arthur. Good to see you again. Everybody's here, present and accounted for. Coming up on our show today, Randolph W. Goon, our poet laureate with Goon River Anthology.
Beautiful poetry.
And then we'll have the Lone Arranger.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, we're going to interview a gentleman who has a message for the world, and I'm sure you'll want to hear the special interview towards the end of our program.
I'm sure we'll want to hear that special interview toward the end of the program, yes. Before our first record, tell me, please, Willard, do we have an award today?
Yes, we do, Edward.
Wonderful.
I'm happy to report that the Yogi Bear Fan Club of America has just voted you and me the two biggest boo-boos in radio.
Okay, boo-boo. Let's go, baby. Let's go, baby, baby.
It's a little song called, I Let a Song Go Out of My Heart and...
Right into my liver. Is that...
Don't get around much anymore. Two songs.
Two songs for the price of one. That's very interesting. Is that all over, Arthur? Was that the last of the record?
Yeah.
It sounded very strange.
Well, that's it.
I mean, I think ending... Was that one of the James Brothers?
No.
Frank and Larry and...
Manning Al Band.
Oh. Oh, Larry and Les.
We better hurry up here because...
Hurry up here. We have a lot to do.
Did you play the organ, Rita?
Yes.
The days draw to an end. The days are growing shorter. And so as we relax by the fireside, let us hear words of comfort as we bring you once more Goon River Anthology with our poet, Randolph.
Come in.
Randolph W. Goon, who is... He's locked out of the studio. Just a moment.
Come in.
We've waxed the floor today, Mr. Goon. And now here he is.
Good to see you're here.
With our poems for the evening.
Who put my swivel feet, boy?
Randolph W. Goon. Here's Mr. Goon's first poem.
Get the chair scoot up to my side, will you? It's too low here.
Are you ready now?
Yes,
I'm ready. Mr. Goon's first poem for the evening is entitled Grandma's Thanksgiving.
Seasonal stuff. I got it out of my drawer.
All right, read it, would you please?
Over the toll bridge and down the pike, to Grandmother's house we go. The car knows the way. If not, we'll call the 3A. We're sure to get there, you know. Going to Grandma's is not bad, because she's got a real swinging pad in a penthouse on the Lower East Side, see?
up the elevator for 88 floors, down the hall and through the drawers, doors. There's Grandma, looking like a bride. Records on the stereo, westerns on the video, and drinks on the patio. It's a swinging time, Daddy-O. Yes, the times have really changed since Grandma was a kid. If she ain't careful, Granny's gonna flip her lid. She could dye her hair.
No,
that is bad for
you. Know. And now, Mr. Goon's second offering for this holiday season, entitled, I hope there's no reflection on our program, sir, The Turkey.
You called the shot, Buster. Oh, night air so strange and cold and murky. Somewhere out there tonight roams my Thanksgiving turkey. Happy, gay, and full of giggles. Sometimes I wonder why we can't eat eggles. As long as I don't have to look up in the eyes of that old bird, I'm happy to gnaw upon your wing or thigh, you dirty bird. With cranberry sauce and candied yams and stuffing, you'll certainly look good when you come out of the oven. You look so good when we're so starved. You look so mouth-eaten after you've been carved.
That's moth-eaten.
Yes, what did I say?
Mouth-eaten.
Oh, dear. Oh, happy day and joy divine. I'll probably have to go down the street to the restaurant to get mine, because my wife cannot stand poultry. She sneezes.
Now, in conclusion, do you have a thought for the day?
My wife sneezes.
Thought for the day, please.
Yes, we do, Uncle Ed. Button up your overcoat or your hip flask because I'll fall out of your pocket.
Join us again next week when once more we present Randolph W. Goon. Love is like champagne.
Paul Maison and the orchestra.
Jane Morgan. Now picture, if you will, 2 4-year-old children at their play out in the streets of Washington. Here we go.
Hi, Mermaid. Hi, Mermaid. Hey, Jerry, what do you got?
Look what my daddy got me for my birthday.
What is that?
A new 1961 scooter. Ain't it super?
Well, that's not much. Look what my daddy bought me for my birthday, a 1961 Rambler. But I'll beat you down to the candy store. Bye.
That's it, friends. You know, your Rambler dealer is the only dealer who sells a complete line of compact cars for 1961, the all-new Rambler Americans, the all-purpose Rambler Classics, and the luxurious Ambassadors. See your Rambler dealer now.
That little creep didn't even offer me for riding his car.
Oh, wow.
Look at my scooter.
Thrills, makers of Feedies, the greatest name in stretch socks, brings you another exciting episode of the Lone Ranger, the daring and resourceful masked rider of the plains, who brought with him law, justice, and the American way of life.
As our story opens, we find the daring and resourceful masked rider of the plains, the Lone Ranger, and his faithful Indian companion, Pronto, inside one of Connecticut Avenue's more fashionable restaurants, as we hear the masked rider say,
This is where we'll have our Thanksgiving dinner, Pronto. I see the waitress is bringing the food now.
Here's your dinner, gentlemen.
Fine. Here, Pronto, have some turkey. Have some dressing, Pronto. Some candied yams. That's good. Pass the salt and pepper, please, Pronto. Delicious. And some more of that pumpkin pie. That was delicious dinner, but... Pronto, you haven't touched your food. What's the matter?
You make me sick. Shovel food down your throat. Oh, no. Never eat. You make me sick.
Pronto, let's get down to business.
Don't like bird.
The reason we gathered here is to discuss our big plans for this weekend. Now, if we wait any later than today, it won't be of any use to us.
That's plenty right, fat man. We must move quickly.
That's right, because Saturday is the big day, and we must know
By tomorrow.
What do you think we do, Fat Man?
Frodo, you ride on over and talk to someone about this thing while I go out and see Colonel Morgan at Fort Myer. Or is that Colonel Meyer at Fort Morgan that I can't tell?
Script girl gone home. Too late to ad-lib it.
You meet me back here in 2 hours, Pronto.
Plenty good. I'm going.
Meanwhile, 1 hour later, the Lone Ranger has gone over to Fort Myer where he has a secret meeting with Colonel Beauregard Morgan. As our story reopens, we find the daring and resourceful masked rider of the plains in deep conversation with the Colonel. As the Colonel says,
"Well, masked man, it's been a long time since we've met. How are you doing?"
"Just fine, Colonel."
"And how's that engine, Pronto?"
"He's fine, too, Colonel. Now, I came to ask a big favor of you."
"Yes, anything at all I could do, I'd be happy to, except I know what you want, and it's just virtually impossible at this time."
"But, Colonel, it's vital that we have these. We must know."
"I'm sorry, sir. I can't do a thing for you right now. You're just going to have to do the best you can without me."
And so, the daring and resourceful masked rider of the plains, after having talked with the Colonel at Fort Myer, discovered that his plan was to no avail. And so he rode back to the penthouse apartment over in Ardington to see if he couldn't talk with Pronto and find out what they could do. As our story reopens, we find the Lone Ranger with Pronto in the apartment. He says,
"Pronto, I went to talk to the Colonel. I went to see everyone I could, and it's just impossible. Do you have any luck?"
No. Me meet scalper. Him try sell me ticket, but no good. Me not buy with scalper."
"No, Pronto, it's just impossible for us to get tickets for the Army-Navy game this weekend.
Plenty bad. Too much love.
I don't know what else we can do, Pronto. Our...
may have one solution.
Pronto.
G.
What are you doing?
8, 2, 4, 3, 1, bingo. Me call Madman Ricker, your friendly... television man. Get set for weekend. Big color. See whole show.
Lone Rangers, a copywritten feature of General Thrills, also by Campbell Trimble, Mendel Gilbert. One of Lone Rangers played by Fred Faith. Your announcer is Grace Wampwam.
Frank Sinatra. And the song is I Believe. And I believe we have an interview coming up now, Willard.
Yes,
right?
We do, Ed, and it's our pleasure. We do enjoy talking to people about interesting things that perhaps concern you and me, and we have something today that concerns everyone and concerns our pocketbooks. Is that right?
That's right, yeah.
We have with us in our studio Mr. E. Benton Morris.
Oh, that's Morris E. Benton, sir.
Morris E. Benton?
That's right.
Sorry. Morris E. Benton. Well, Mr. Benton, welcome to our WRC microphones, and it's a very, very dear pleasure to have you here. We understand you represent the American Federation for the Abolishment of Change in the American Monarchy.
Oh, no. I represent the American Federation for the Propagation of the Use of Change in Spending Currency.
Not the abolishment?
No. We want to have as much currency in change as possible. We want people to have plenty of change in their pockets.
Oh, I see. You're for change.
Absolutely.
Keeping change in the monetary system.
Yes.
That means, of course, you do away with all money, paper money.
Well, no, we don't do away with all paper money, no. We want to have still paper money, but you still got to have more change.
I see. Well, I imagine you'd be quite interested in having more children saving pennies in piggy banks. This is something that's real cute.
No. See, that ties up the money. We want the kids to get out there and spend it at their candy stores and things like that. Have their little pennies in their grubby little hands all the time.
You're not for changing the
pennies
in the bank.
Get it out there in circulation.
Well, I imagine you're all for silver dollars, too, because silver dollars is certainly a nice, easy something to carry around in your
pocket. No, that was not our doing. The silver dollar movement was started by the seamstresses and the tailors. They see they're heavy, and they wear holes in pockets, and they give them more work that way. We want the small change.
According to our routine sheet, you are live in the neighborhood, is that right, in Silver Spring?
Yeah, Bethesda.
Bethesda.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And you're a native of Where is it?
Portland.
Portland, Oregon.
No, Maine.
In this monetary system, in keeping change, I would imagine, Mr. Benton?
Yes.
Mr. Benton, I would imagine that you're very much for machines of the type of vending machines, slot machines. Well, maybe not slot machines.
No, we don't want the vending machine. No, you see, the men don't come around to pick up the money off enough. It lays there in the bottom of that machine for weeks sometimes, and it's out of circulation. We can't have that. We've got to have that money spent.
You are trying to push legislation now through Congress, as I understand.
Well, no, we're working on other means, actually. I'm sorry you had the facts all wrong, but it was nice being with you, Mr. Suskind.
Mr. Suskind?
This is the Open Mouth Show, isn't it?
Yeah, no, this is the Walker Scott Joy Boys Show.
I seem to have had the wrong studio here.
That's all right. I think we have the wrong interview, Mr. Morris.
I'm Benton.
Mr. Benton?
I'm terribly sorry.
I have
to go now. Could you give me two dimes for transportation? I don't have any change.
No change in your pocket?
No, I change.
Some
Thank you very much.
That was heavy. Here's the theme.
We are the Joy Boys of radio. We take electrons to and fro. We are the Joy Boys of radio. We take electrons to and fro.
I guess that'll do it for the Joy Boys for this evening. Till tomorrow, then. This is Ed Walker here.
As the guy said down at the fish store yesterday, it's about wraps up another one.
Sure does.
Thank you very much. You're a wonderful
You're
audience.
You're welcome, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I want to thank Lee Feed for dropping by and visiting our show tonight and listening to it. We appreciate
it. He wasn't listening, but he dropped by. Anyway.
Here's Charlie Stafford.
This program has been selected to be heard by our fighting men.
Anybody's fighting men. Anyway.
We take the
Tonight, listen to Lee Dayton and the Hour of Dreams over this NBC radio station.
He's no fast-driving, wise-cracking high school boy. He has brains and personality.
I don't know.
What do you say, gentlemen? On WRC and WRC FM NBC in Washington. Big ham.
This is Morgan Beatty bringing you news of the world. Tonight in the headlines, the big story exclusive.
I'm a well-to-do Washington physician, and I have a very heavy schedule, but I always find 25 minutes a day to listen to the Joy Boys on WRC Radio.
I'm an average housewife with four children, and naturally I have a lot of work to do around the house every day, but no matter how busy I am, I always take out 25 minutes to hear the Joy Boys.
I'm a big Washington building contractor, and I have a lot of jobs to do during the daytime, but come evening time, I always find 25 minutes to listen to the Joy Boys over WRC.
I'm a psychiatrist, and all of these people are my patients.
The Joy Boys of radio. We chase electrons to and fro. We are the Joy Boys of radio. We chase electrons to and fro.
Time for the Joy Boys show for this Wednesday night. This is Ed Walker here.
Well, it's Scott over here, Bobby Shenton stuffing a turkey.
Which is the turkey and which is Bobby Shenton?
I can't tell the difference over there.
Try that again.
Well, I know which one is Bobby, but I can't tell which one's talking.
I don't know.
Like a stereo. The turkey's got a stereo rig in his gobbler.
And let's see, whom else we have here? George?
George is getting ready to really...
2 days of hillbilly.
That's right. Right there in the old Northern Virginia woods. And, of course, the ever-lovable, the papa of them all, Arthur Page.
I had my bird today.
And I noticed he's got a drumstick there in his hand.
I'm assisting the ever-popular Arthur Page.
The only guy who has pizzas with turkey livers there. He doesn't fool around.
That's right. We will stuff our turkey with lasagna this year.
Aldo Argentina, the engineer, is here.
What do we have coming up on the program?
I smell vino somewhere.
Don't mind if I do.
crescent moon. All right. I think on our show today it's going to be very exciting. Great moments in history will depict the famous love story of John Alden, Miles Standish, and Priscilla. We never could find out her last name. Also, the Answer Man will be along. Yeah. And finally, Robin Hood of Rock Creek Park in a new exciting adventure. So that looks like a pretty... He's here again. Give him a microphone quick for you.
Out of breath here.
Flips his course here.
Get a hot story away from the newsroom here.
Well, looking from the newsroom.
That's right.
All right. Good. Anyway, hold it.
What's that?
Now, look. You've been pulling our turkey leg here long enough. It's ridiculous. The Mayflower arrived in 1620. Now, this whole thing
well,
is...
Well, you got me all wrong here. The Mayflower Hotel I'm talking about. My Aunt Zeke and... I mean, my Uncle Zeke and Aunt Zelda are staying here, so the hotel has finally arrived.
Don't get that one confused.
You know what I mean.
In other words, the hotel's arrived because your relatives
are there. That's right. After all these years.
It's a social position that's arrived.
That's right.
It's not the Mayflower ship at the...
No.
Was the Mayflower ship part of the Wilson line?
I don't know.
The big band of Billy May, and the song is If I Were a Bell. Pardon me, sir, aren't you my friendly, courteous rambler dealer?
Yes, I'm Charlie Friendly, your courteous rambler dealer. Why don't you sit in my showroom and take a look at these beautiful, big, new 1961 ramblers?
Now, what do you have there, sir?
Oh, they're all here. New styling, new comfort,
and
engineering features that'll just make your eyes pop right out of your head.
Thank you, sir, very much, but you're yelling in my ear.
Would you go to buy one?
I already have one.
Oh, well, look.
And now, great moments in history.
It's time now for great moments in history. The facts and true stories behind momentous events that have helped to shape the present-day world. And now, for today's exciting adventure, the true story of John Alden, Miles Standish, and Priscilla, the Eternal Triangle, and the story of the first great American romance among the pilgrims in the Plymouth Bay Colony. As our story opens, we find the fearless Captain Miles Standish talking to John Alden about Priscilla, as we hear John say...
You called for me, Captain?
Yes. Sit down, John. Sit down,
sir.
As you know, John, I'm a fearless captain.
Yes, sir.
I fought in wars for the king.
That's right, sir.
I fought for the colonists.
Right, sir.
I fought Indians.
Yes, sir.
I fought the French.
Yes, sir.
I fought the Spanish.
Yes, sir.
With my cutlass, there's no man that can stand against me.
You're right, sir.
But, John...
Yes, sir.
I must confess something to you.
What is that, Captain?
I am in love.
Really, Captain?
And I'm afraid.
Could you tell me who...
Who but... The fairest of all the fairs in this colony.
You mean Priscilla?
Priscilla, right, Miss Holm.
Well, why don't you tell her, man? Tell her that you love her.
Oh, I cannot do that. She would laugh at me, and I cannot stand that. I'm afraid that if I tell her so, she would laugh, and then I would be crushed.
No one would laugh at you, sir. They wouldn't dare, Captain.
No. John?
Yes, sir.
If you would tell her that I love her and propose to her for me...
For you?
I will give you my dog, Jonathan.
That wonderful animal, Jonathan?
Given to me by the king, carried through my days. Nursed to puppyhood now, this dog is a fearless, fine broth of a dog.
I'll be more than happy to do it for you, Captain, if you think I can be of any use to you.
Go, boy, and take Jonathan with you and wear him in good speed.
Here, come, Jonathan. Let's go, boy.
And so, John Alden was given the dog Jonathan, the faithful friend of Miles Standish, all because he was to ask for the hand of the fair Priscilla. As our story reopens, we find John Alden and his faithful friend of his all mankind, his dog, as he sits to Priscilla, the beautiful queen of the country.
Good evening, Miss Priscilla.
Hello, John. Happy to.
You look ravishingly beautiful.
What's that beast you got with you?
That, Priscilla, is Jonathan, given to me by Captain Miles Standish.
Hello, Jonathan. Nice doggy.
I've come, speaking of Miles Standish, to ask a favor of you.
Well, certainly. Come on in the sitting room and sit yourself down here. Attaboy. And what if... Come on over here and sit next to me, you great big handsome brute.
Well, I...
Come on, no.
Very well.
Come on.
Miss Priscilla.
Yes?
As you know, the time comes in every man's life when he feels that he must settle down with the one he loves.
John, you're trying to tell me something.
Yes, I am.
Captain Miles Standish is deeply in love with you, Priscilla, and would that he were able to tell you himself, but he feels too bashful. So he's asked me to ask for your hand.
Oh, for goodness sakes. Don't blabber there with your tongue wagging in the breeze like a clap on a belfry. John, speak for yourself. Speak, John. Wait, get that rangy dog.
Not you, Jonathan.
I don't want you to speak. Get that dog down. No, Jonathan. I mean speak for yourself, John.
Could it be?
I love you. I've loved you since the first day I saw you rigging the mizzen mast up on that ship when we left Plymouth Harbor.
Well, I love you,
when we landed on the rock and you helped carry me out there. I fell in the water just so you'd rescue me. Then when I supposedly broke my ankle there, I didn't see. Look here. My ankle ain't busted. I'm as spry as a 2-year-old.
I cannot believe it.
I love you. Kiss me.
Yeah.
Give me one of kids. Send him back to Miles Standish.
Go back to Captain Standish. I don't need you any longer, Jonathan.
This looks like the beginning of a real dog's life.
No, it's the end of a bad bitch.
And so that's the true story of John Alden, Miles Standish, Priscilla, and Miles' dog, Jonathan.
If you really have, you will take a trip.
That's Susan Barrett, and she was down at the Statler, the embassy room last week, and I saw her.
Good for you.
Along with Lee Dayton, we were fraternizing.
She didn't know you, though, did
she? She had no idea who I was.
Yes, a pole vault is a safe where flagpoles are kept.
No, a hot mincemeat pie is not necessarily a stolen one.
Yes, a turkey in the straw is easier to find than a needle in a haystack.
No, the answer man has not yet been invited to anyone's home for Thanksgiving dinner, and we're a little worried
about
it.
That bothers me just a bit. Everybody's having all this good food tomorrow, and nobody, not a nibble. From Jerry and Gemma mentioned it.
Mr. Answer
Man. Al Roth, he works here, and he didn't even say anything. I mean, after all, I'm a peace-loving guy, and I like to have a...
It's time once more for radio's time-honored program, The Answer Man, now in its 83rd year.
It's a turkey wing, is
it? Each week at this time, The Answer Man answers the questions you, the radio listeners, have sent to him.
A little giblet gravy, maybe?
Now, here he is, The Answer Man.
Cranberry sauce. Oh, yes. Thank you, Willard Scott. And what is our first question this evening?
Mr. Bob White of Bethesda writes this question.
Mm-hmm.
In the traditional Thanksgiving story, how could the pilgrims possibly afford to treat all of the Indians to dinner?
Very simple. They have their diner's club cards, carte blanche, and all those things, and they just put it on the bill there. As simple as that.
An English teacher from Hinesville would like to know, in the old American folk song, Buffalo Gal, why must we insist on using the incorrect phrase, Buffalo Gal, ain't you coming out tonight, coming out tonight, coming out tonight?
It just wouldn't rhyme. It wouldn't, the meter would be thrown all askew there if you said,
actually,
aren't you coming out?
A buffalo, female buffalo really wouldn't care much anyway, would she? I mean,
no, not really. Grammar didn't mean a whole lot to
buffaloes. Buffaloes are buffaloes.
Yeah.
A young student of American history from Northwest Washington sends this one to you.
Mm-hmm.
In American folklore, in the story of Jesse James, the famed outlaw whose nickname was William Howard, there is no mention of what happens to his equally famous brother, Frank James. After Jesse was shot by John Howard, whatever happened to Frank, his brother?
He moved to St. Louis and opened up a used car lot, and boy, he's still robbing people over there, I'll tell you.
An inquisitive housewife from Alexandria asks this one, how do you know when a turkey is done?
Well, now, that all depends on what he's doing, for one thing. And secondly, a turkey.
I think you mean, yeah, turkey,
Oh, I know when it's done.
When is a turkey done?
Right now. The producer just gave me the high sign that I've got to sign off here. So
I see. Well, I'll sign the show.
Yes.
You've been listening to Radio's time-honored program, The Answer Man. If you have any questions for which you'd like the answers, simply address a card or letter to The Answer Man, WRC Radio, Red Square, Hartford 7, Virginia, along with $635 to cover the cost of handling and mailing. And be with us again next week when once more we'll present The Answer Man. What?
What's the matter?
The page just handed me a note here.
Yes?
One of our listeners called, love. One of your listeners, Mr. Answer Man. And apparently you've been invited to dinner. This listener hopes you come to Thanksgiving dinner.
Very touching.
That's
and
right.
I'm very grateful.
Right here.
Thank you very much, ma'am, for inviting me. Paige, did she say what was on the menu for tomorrow?
Hot dog, hot dog, hot dog.
James Brothers.
The Ames Brothers.
Oh, the Ames Brothers, and it's only a paper moon. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the famous TV star, Mr. Alfred Hotchkiss.
Good evening.
Now you can see Alfred Hitchcock's Psycho at your favorite neighborhood theater. No one admitted Alfred the feature star. Check neighborhood newspaper theater directory today for the name of the nearest theater to you to see Psycho. Thank you. Time crime. The National Broadcasting Company brings you the adventures of Robin Hood of Rock Creek Park.
Robin Hood, riding through the glen. Robin Hood, with his band of men. Feared by the bad, loved by the good. Robin Hood, Robin Hood, Robin Hood.
National Broadcasting Company presents the adventures of Robin Hood of Rock Creek Park. As our story opens, we find Robin and his band of merry men riding through the forest of Rock Creek.
Robin Hood, Robin Hood, Robin Hood, Robin Hood. Ho, ho.
Men, I have called you here this evening to show you a very special project. After all these years, we're going to do some legitimate business.
Hey, Robin Hood.
Instead of robbing from the rich and giving it to the poor, we are going to make an honest dollar. Follow me right this way, men. In this specially constructed shack, you will see our project for this weekend.
Hi, Robin. What have you got for us this weekend?
Open the door, little John, and you shall find
out. I shall ask you.
Hi, Robin.
Jackie.
High-looking bunch of birds if I ever saw them in my life. Shut the door. Let's talk this thing over.
Men, these are all the turkeys that you have captured single-handed through our trips into the forest and the woods.
Hey, Robin.
Robin.
Hey, Robin.
What are we doing, Robin?
What we're going to do, men, is have turkey in the rough. For people who don't want to cook their Thanksgiving dinner, we will have turkey in the rough already prepared for them in a box that they can buy from us.
Listen, men.
That's wonderful. You mean, yes, chicken in the rough. We'll have turkey in the rough for people who want to call up and buy the food.
Precisely, men. Now listen to what you get for this low sum. First of all, a 20-pound turkey, 5 gallons of turkey dressing.
Here, I'll help put it in the box.
All right. There's a big turkey.
This box is 6 foot by 6 foot. It's the biggest box I've ever seen.
And then the 5 gallons of dressing.
Right.
A gallon jug of giblet gravy.
Cranberry sauce, Robin.
You are 2 gallons of cranberry sauce.
Hey, great, Robin. I love stuffed celery.
2 pounds of stuffed celery. 2 dozen rolls.
How about the third, Robin? I'm a glutton for soul mutton.
4 hot mincemeat pies.
I want
4 pumpkin pies.
I'm a pumpkin, Robin.
And plenty of mashed potatoes to go with that giblet gravy.
Hey, Robin, there's more than well, just throw in some mint.
Hey, that's a good idea. After dinner, men, we'll throw them in there, men. Now hold this for the low sum of just $32.
Robin, a question.
What's that?
I was just thinking, who are you going to sell all this food to?
Just think of all the colleges in this community, all the sorority houses and fraternity houses. The children will want something to eat for Thanksgiving dinner.
Aye, that's what I mean, Robin.
What do you mean?
I think I'm beginning to get the point, little John.
Aye, that's the point.
What are you trying to tell me?
Well, little John is trying to tell you that Thanksgiving time, all the college brats have gone home for dinner. There's nobody there.
Men,
there's old Mother Hubbard's cupboard.
You better start eating fast. We have an awful lot of cranberry sauce.
I don't like white meat. Just give me the dark meat.
We got dressing and gravy and mashed potatoes. Eat hearty, men.
Give me some cranberry. Just one of you want me to fucking want.
Of radio, we chase electrons to and fro. We are the joy boys of radio. We chase electrons to and fro.
That's it for the Joy Boys for this evening here, the night before Turkey Day. This is Ed Walker here.
And Willard Scott over here, wishing you all a very happy Thanksgiving to Arthur Page.
Yeah, thank you.
To Bobby Shetton, George Brington, and Aldo Argent here.
My shoes.
Tomorrow, our special Thanksgiving show. We hope you'll be listening and join us for dinner tomorrow at 7:05. Charlie Stafford.
This is Charlie Stafford reminding you.
For
this program is being heard
In the kitchen. I thank you. Overseas and KP and all that sort of jazz. Bring it out, boys.
We are the Joy Boys of radio. We take electrons to and fro. We are the Joy Boys of radio. We take electrons to and fro.
Suddenly, for no reason at all, I feel as if there's a wall between us.
There is, honey. I just closed the door. We've left the studio, Steve.
That's not polite to the switchboard operator. She's trying to get the calls our thousands of fans are calling. This is WRCAM in Fulham.
This is Morgan Beatty bringing you news of the world. Tonight in the headlines, the big story.